Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Russ Terry, founder and CEO of Life Coach Radio Network. Today's sponsor is Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free audiobook when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. That's audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. And now, here's today's show.
Well, good morning. This is Renee Ellison, the on-camera coach with Reveal Your Excellence here at Life Coach Radio Networks. I am so thrilled to have an opportunity to come to you live from my New Brunswick apartment. It's so cool to be able to do your own radio show from your place of residence. And it's really awesome, too, to be able to invite people on the show who you admire and, you know, just have so much to offer our listeners and to you who are tuning in today. This day is special because Kelly Carley is here, and you've probably heard over the last several weeks Kelly has called into the show asking questions. I kind of feel like she's my co-host in a lot of ways because she'll call in and she'll ask, you know, really insightful questions to the guests, and that really keeps the momentum going and keeps our guests kind of on their toes as well. And she's going to be here today. She's calling herself these days the repurpose coach. And we're going to talk a lot about what that means to repurpose your life, because that's today's topic. If you have any comments or any questions about what we're talking about today, please don't hesitate to get on the line. Our number for call-in is 646-716-9397. Again, that's 646-716-9397. Before we get started with my interview with Kelly, I just want to tell you about some shows that are coming up. Tomorrow, we have a Super Soul Sunday after show coming up tomorrow at 8 p.m. That's with Talisha Ellis, Tiffany Mayfield, and Dawn Ferguson. And then I thought this show was actually kind of interesting and definitely something that you should tune into if you have a teen, How to Raise the Confidence Level of a Challenging Teen. This is with Divya Parekh. She's going to interview B.E. Van Loon. That's on Monday, 9 p.m. That's October 12th. And then also Your Best Life with Jan Jaffe. She's going to be interviewing Carlos Figueroa. That's on Wednesday, October 12th at 12 p.m. Now, without any further ado, I just want to introduce you to my good friend Kelly Carley. Kelly is the repurpose coach, and she's a certified professional life coach trained at IPAC. We met each other when we were both students at IPAC. And she makes quite an impression because of her energy and her enthusiasm and her, you know, I think we're all kind of geeked out when it comes to coaching, but Kelly definitely takes it to the next level. She is so excited, started our secret Facebook page, and has just been a cheerleader for the team. Everyone, please help me welcome Kelly Carley, the Repurpose Coach. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, Renee. How are you?
I'm doing well. You having a good time this morning? The weather is beautiful. It stopped raining over here. I don't know what it's like where you are.
Yes, it's beautiful. I'm actually on a weekend getaway in the Pocono Mountains in Pennsylvania, and it's just a gorgeous fall morning here.
Oh, that sounds great. I wish I was where you are. So first of all, I just want to thank you for all of your support of the show, you know, just being around on Saturday, every other Saturday, to call in and to ask questions to our guests and to make the questions so insightful and so meaningful and really get us thinking about the topic that we're talking about. So thank you so much for that.
Well, and thank you for the opportunity that you're giving not only me, but, you know, other coaches to get out what they're doing, what they're coaching and what their mission is. It's just a wonderful opportunity for all of us.
Thank you so much. I want anyone who's listening today who wants to call in and talk to Kelly to definitely call us at 646-716-9397. But we're going to get started, Kelly, with just the whole idea of the repurpose coach. What does it mean to repurpose your life?
Well, you know, it's about creating a new mission for your life, you know, exploring and designing a new plan for now and for moving ahead, as I love to say, because that's the name of my business. But I think the idea of repurposing is that so oftentimes we're in life and we're doing our thing and things change and things happen to us. And so we're not quite, you know, doing what we thought we were going to do, and that's okay. And I think the whole idea is that no matter where we are in life, no matter what has happened to us, that there's a purpose for us. And sometimes we need to take a step back and repurpose and give some time and thought and explore how that might, what that purpose might be for us at this point in time.
Mm-hmm. And that whole idea of having a mission, having a purpose, being able to redefine who you are and what you are, that's so significant. And like you said, your business is called Moving Ahead, which really says a lot about how you're thinking about your coaching practice and where you're taking it. So this whole idea of finding a purpose, what's the significance of kind of finding, uncovering, cultivating your purpose?
Well, what's the purpose of purpose, right?
Right, exactly, exactly.
Well, I think it's a way of embracing life. I think, you know, when we know what we want and we have this idea of what we want to get to, that thing that we're seeing ahead of us, that it's what can get us up in the morning, it's how we approach the world around us, and it can guide us and help us make choices. You know, a really big word that's been coming up a lot for me lately is clarity. And I think that's really what purpose does for us, is that it gives us some clarity about things and that we can look at life, you know, being more on the offense. I'm a big fan of football. So, you know, it's more about being on the offense and drive, you know, taking that drive and going and moving ahead rather than being on the defense and reacting to things and feeling that we're at the effect of what's going on in our lives instead of at the cause.
Yeah, going back to a lot of things that we learned in our coach training, right? That whole idea of being at the cause of something, kind of pushing our purpose out there and having that clarity, having that drive, having, you know, somewhat of an ambitious spirit, I guess, to be able to define who you are and then eventually, if you have to, redefine who you are. So it's a challenge for most of us to kind of find that original purpose. And I'm wondering what kind of challenge it might be for people when they have to face redefining their purpose. What kind of challenges do people face?
Well, interestingly enough, I think that a lot of us don't really, if we're really pressed to say, to really say, what is our purpose? So, you know, then we're thinking, now you want me to repurpose. I think when you look back, you might be able to see, well, that's what my goal was, or that's what my focus was, or my purpose. And a lot of times we're not aware of that. And I guess as we get older and we keep going through life, that we can become more aware of that and aware of what's happened to us and see that, you know, all right, this is what I've done and this is what I've been about, and I'm going day to day. Right now I think I want something different, and I – you know, things are good, but they could be better. They could be great. They could be awesome. And we go from that day-to-day survival, and we can go to actually, you know, creating some purpose. So a lot of times where challenges, I think, come in and trying to figure that out is that we don't know where to start. And then we can beat ourselves up, like thinking, you know what, I don't think I have ever had a purpose, and I don't know what my purpose is now. And so we can get real frustrated at that and get stuck in that frustration. And a lot of times it's a resistance to change. We all resist change because it's fear. You know, we like, you know, it might not be what we want right now, but it's working. I'm fine. I'm happy. You know, things could be better, but they could also be worse. And so we go along with that mindset to make us feel okay with staying in our little comfort zone. And, you know, I'll be the first one to say that a lot of times when that question is even thrown at me, you know, what is your purpose? It's, well, I don't know. And that's that key phrase that I love is the I don't know. And I think the I don't know is a great, great, like, jumping point to say, okay, here's, you know, I don't know what I want, but you know what? I want to know. And so let's get in and have some fun and play and figure out what I want my purpose to be now and what I want to repurpose my life to be about for the next few months, few years, whatever it might be.
Well, it's kind of interesting that you say the whole idea about, you know, you don't know where to start, but then you're resistant to change. It's kind of an oxymoron when you think about it, because you're at a point, and I know I've been there, where you're not exactly sure what to do or where to go, but then that resistance to change comes in, which usually for me is an underlying fear element. What kind of factor do you think that fear plays into that whole resistance to change?
Well, you know, fear can, you know, play a really good role because it's a way to protect ourselves. It's a way to make us feel okay with the way things are right now. And that that we can kind of say, you know, there's an idea that, you know, if I try something new, if I create this purpose, if I create some things that I want and need, and then what if I don't get them, right? What if I fail? What if I don't get there? And there's that idea, you know, that it's more in the journey than the destination. And we've heard that a lot, especially in our coaching training. But you know what? I've really started to see that in a whole different way, that it really is. When I look back at my life and I look at some of the things that have happened and they didn't work out, but then I've learned so much and it helped define me. And that's, again, where that whole idea of repurpose comes in, that it's okay to say, you know what, this is what I thought I wanted. But now I think, now that I've been working at that, I'm thinking, maybe this is it. It helps us to refine ourselves and maybe narrow that focus and say, okay, this is what I thought I want. And it kind of still is what I want. But I think I have a little bit better idea of how I can make that happen. And that's okay. I think there's an idea to say, you know, it's all right to change. It's all right to fail. It's all right to explore that and find out that, maybe that isn't what I thought. Maybe that isn't what I wanted. But this is what I want. But you would have never gotten there had you not first tried to figure it out what you wanted and started going toward it, moving ahead toward that.
It is true, because that whole idea, even when you say the word fail, there's something kind of resistant about hearing that word. You don't want to hear that you failed. You don't want to hear that you've made a mistake. You don't want to hear that you've moved in the wrong direction. But the whole idea is that there are no mistakes, that you can move ahead, as long as you're moving ahead. I had a guest a couple weeks ago who said it's so important to keep moving. And I think that's the message that you're trying to bring, is that as long as you're moving and you're moving ahead, there's never anything wrong with it. There's never a bad move that you can make. So why
you know,
do
you
call
watching...
yourself...
Oh.
No, go ahead.
Sorry. Well, it's just funny that you said that, because I was watching a TV show last night, a comedy, and the mother and daughter were having a conversation, and she was trying to get her to realize the importance of being a woman and what it is to be a woman in today's world and pushing ahead. And the daughter was really into the military, and she made a comment. The mother said to the daughter, you know, what have you always told me about all the great wars that you've studied, that if you're not advancing, what are you doing? You're retreating, right? So if you're not advancing, if you're not moving forward, you might be stuck. You're standing still. And in a way, that's retreating. That's the fear taking over. That's like, I'm just going to stay right here. You know, I'm just going to stay safe until it seems like, you know, I can win. And you know what? You might spend a lifetime waiting for that moment to win.
And that word safe has the same kind of impact sometimes that fail has, because safe is... it's tricky, right? Because
you say
safe, meaning that you found a haven or you found a soft place to fall or you're going to be okay. But, you know, if safe is like that dog lying on a nail, you know, afraid to move because it might hurt too much, that's not really a good place to be. So that totally makes sense to me. So the question is, and I think we've answered it already, but why do you call yourself the Repurpose Coach?
Well, first I thought it was kind of catchy. I was trying to find that catch line. And, you know, to really dig into who I am and what I wanted to be as a coach. But then I thought connected to the whole concept of the green movement of recycle, renew, reuse, and repurpose. That no matter where we are in life, no matter, like as I said earlier, what we've done or what we haven't done, that we always have something to offer no matter what is going on. And, you know, I really want to work with people to help them figure that out. And and I know that I've gone through that personally. I've gone through stages of repurposing. Sometimes I've been forced to do it. Sometimes it was I was searching for it. And I think that's what I wanted to do. And I thought the repurpose was a great way to put that out there and put that message out there.
Well, I love it. I love it. I love the catchiness of it. I love the meaning behind it. It's very creative that you thought of it, and especially because it fits so well with your coaching practice moving ahead. So who are your clients?
Well, I think that anyone who's feeling stuck, and if you're on my website, you'll see that I'll say after a life-changing event. And I really had to search for that term, life-changing event, because, you know, life-changing events could be something, you know, as huge as the loss of a job or a spouse or a loved one or a breakup, but can also be more subtle. A lot of times we can experience a life-changing event while we're at somebody else's life-changing event. You know, it could be a wedding or a graduation party, and suddenly we're looking inward and saying, you know, what am I doing here? What's up with that? I gravitated towards the whole loss and grief because that's something that was real personal for me, and working with the whole area of loss. I lost my dad when I was to cancer when I was a senior in college. And so that's I discovered a lot about grief and how to move, you know, I studied it and learned about it and tried to, and then I became a grief counselor for HIV and AIDS, people, families living with HIV and AIDS. That was very much an issue that was hitting when I was in college, the whole, the mid-80s and the onset of HIV and AIDS epidemic. And so there's two issues kind of molded together. But then I broadened it as I got older and started to experience life and saw my friends experiencing life and all these different things that happen to us, good, you know, the good, bad, and the ugly, and how we work through them and found new ways to look at life and move ahead. And so so anybody that's looking at, you know, their life, and I think that experience can happen to us, you know, when you're a college student just coming out of you know, you just got your degree and you're looking at life and you're not sure that what you thought you wanted to do is what you want to do now. I think a lot of us experiencing that. Or to a woman, a mother who has that empty nest syndrome going on, you know, and trying to redefine their purpose in life. So
what do you think are some of the reasons, Kelly, why people might be feeling stuck and why they might need to repurpose?
Well, I touched upon this, and sometimes it's big things that happen, like divorce, or your kids are grown up, or
the underlying,
dies.
I guess.
Right, right. Those things can really push us. But also, you know, if you're deciding, you know what, my life is good, but I think that it could be better. I think it could be great. It's, you know, that day-to-day feeling of just, you know, keeping the status quo and deciding that there might be more out there. But then there's also the idea that, you know, there's things that happen to us that we, you know, obviously have no control over. And there's one client of mine that I've known for a while, and her husband had a stroke when he was 29 years old. And of course, that completely changed their life. Everything that they had dreamed about and set goals for and hoped for as a couple and as a family changed in that moment. And after, you know, a year or two of recovering from that stroke and getting to a place of just surviving day to day, then became that, well, what is our life about now? What do we want now? Is there the idea, you know, of just surviving day to day? Is that enough? Is that all the strength that you might have? Or is there something more out there? Is there something else I should be doing? And a lot of times it's hard because we get stuck in just keeping, you know, getting the bills paid and getting, you know, keeping our family happy and going to our job every day so that we can pay the bills and that, and to realize that I don't have any more left to figure out what more I could be doing, right? I think that's when that's feeling stuck. And there could be some fear in there, like we talked about. It could be a comfort zone. It could be, you know what, I'm happy. It could be worse, but things are okay. And then it might be that idea that, you know, but I want more. I think I can do more. I want to find out what else might be there, move beyond that.
You know, I don't know about you, Kelly, but a lot of times throughout my life, the idea of wanting more made me feel guilty. And I think what happens with a lot of people, because I see this especially in the women I work with, they sometimes, and I can include myself in this, sometimes feel like, you know, I should be satisfied. I should be grateful. I should be, I think what you're talking about is not so much a lack of gratitude for where you are, but it's more about going deeper, going to that place of striving for more, not because you just want another, you know, car in the driveway, but because there's something, you know, intrinsically within yourself that is desiring growth. How accurate would that be?
I think that's an awesome way of putting it, you know, and I think a really great question to ask when you're feeling that way, that guilt, which I just heard recently, a great take on guilt. It's usually when two feelings or two values are at odds with each other, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, two things that we hold important or that we want or we believe are important are bumping up against each other. And we have to figure that out. And I think a really good question to ask yourself is, what is driving you to change your current situation? Because it's all about intent. I really do believe in intent. And, you know, I think I appreciate it. You know, I see memes on Facebook a lot that say, be grateful for what you have, because what you have, others only dream about. And I agree with that message. But I also think that can also be that way to stay the same. All right, that's a way to stay the same. That's a way to stay here in my comfort zone. That's a way for me to pretend, you know, to move away from that fear and just stay right here and be safe and sound. And you know, that's great. But if you're feeling that sense, if that feeling is bubbling up in you and you're trying to tell yourself, just be grateful for what you have, that, you know, there's nothing to be afraid of exploring some other options and seeing what else might be out there. What is that? Where is that coming from? That needs something more. And something more doesn't mean that something has to be taken away. More means more. Add to. And we don't have to abandon everything that we've been about up until this point when we want something more and something different.
Yeah, so that whole idea of guilt being when your values collide, that's a great way to look at it, because as we kind of journey through life, there are going to be times when we want more and we're striving for more. And to give ourselves permission to say, there's nothing wrong with it. And it might not even be more. It could just be something else, something different. It could just be, a little bit of extra flavoring in your life that makes the difference. I love the idea of the values, or I don't love the idea of values colliding, but I like the analogy of guilt being when your values collide. That's a really great way to look at it. So what are some tactics or strategies that we can use to begin repurposing?
Well, one of the things that, we talk about values, I found one of the first things I do with my clients is to talk about values and do a values exercise with them. And there's a lot of them out there to use online, through coaches and whatnot. But really, as you know, we got that list of values in our when we went through our life coaching training. And I remember looking at them and thinking, well, I would like them all. I value all of those things. And then I thought, how do you narrow that down? And I love that, trying to pick out the top 10. And then once you have your top 10, whittle it down to 5. And then whittle it down to 3. And I do that with my clients almost at the beginning of working with them. And I have them make the list, type it up and print it out, the top 10, the top 5, and the top 3. That whenever they're trying to make a decision or they're feeling at odds for themselves or they're feeling that sense of guilt, any of those things, to sit back and look at those, that list and say, okay, what's important to me? Why am I having a hard time making this decision? Or why am I feeling guilty? And narrow it down to the feelings that you're having and seeing how they relate to the values. And having your values sitting there in front of you can often help you say, well, you know what? I chose these values because they're important to me. So this is more important to me. And so this is the way I'm going to go because that's more in line with what I've decided that I value and is important to me. And it can provide a lot of clarity and help you move ahead. Not to keep using that phrase.
Yes, I love that.
But
it's true.
Right, it can provide you some freedom. And I think that is really what we're seeking. That sense of freedom and letting go of that guilt and letting go of that need for permission to explore and decide what you might want to do in the next days, in the next weeks and months of your life. So.
And it goes back to that whole idea of, not knowing where to start. And that gives someone a practical tool, the values list, gives someone a practical tool of where they can begin, kind of that internal compass to help them to make a decision about their life and which way to go and what to do and what's important and what's not and, where they want to be eventually, where they want to end up.
And another great thing about doing that values exercise is that a tip that was given to me is then look at that list and mark which ones are yours that you've decided are important to you and mark the ones that have been taught to you to be important that are maybe your parents' values or your husband's values or your coworkers or your boss's values and then decide that if you want, just because they might have been taught to you by somebody else, that they still might be important to you and they still might be valid. They still might be your values. But it's important to look at where that came from. Like, why is that important to me? Why did I decide that value was something I wanted? Is it something that I truly believe? And sometimes you might discover that it's not. And, again, there's another freeing way, especially if it's one of those things that's making you feel guilty. It's like, you know what? I think that's not so important to me anymore. One of the clients I'm working with right now, she went to college, she got a master's degree, she got all this training and was starting out her career, and then she had children, and she decided she still wanted to work because she liked that sense of purpose, working part-time, and so she took jobs that helped, that then it allowed her to work and have that outlet and do that, but also gave her the freedom to come and go from that job and be the mother that she wanted to be. And now there was always this sense of hanging over her that her jobs weren't good enough, that she wasn't using her degrees, that she wasn't having a stellar career. And doing the values exercise, she realized that, hey, that's all right. That's what I wanted. I want to be a good mom. And you know what? My kids are almost grown, and now I can start thinking about what I can do in the workplace with my career. I have time to figure that out her youngest is still in high school, but she's looking at that transition period, that she can look at the next 4, 5, 6 years and transition from being her focus being about being a mom, a full, you know, really focused on her kids, to now maybe I can look at my career. And you know what? I don't have to feel anything about what I've done in the past 20 years with my degrees. I've done what I've wanted to do because this is what is important to me. So.
Well, it's interesting that you say that about, you know, the fact that she got the degree and then became decided that she wanted to focus on motherhood. Because what happens, I think, sometimes is that our choices in life, even though they're positive choices, can get us kind of stuck in our mind that's our limitation, what we're supposed to be. And if we're not doing that, somehow we're doing something wrong with our life. And it's so important to know that, like you said earlier, it's really a journey. You know, it's not about the destination. It's about the journey and the knowledge and the clarity that you acquire as you journey through life. So, yeah, that was a good story. Thank you for sharing that about your client. So I'm curious, Kelly, how do the strategies differ based on the life event? So, for example, you have a mother who might be dying versus the loss of a job versus a divorce. Do the strategies have any differentiation in them for how to repurpose?
Well, I think different emotions come up, and each person is unique in how they deal with those emotions, whether it be anger or hurt, feeling lonely, worry. You know, when you're experiencing the loss of your mother or going through a divorce, the emotions come up can be so surprising to you and not what you thought they'd be. When you looked at other people going through those, you can have your idea of what that might be like. And until you're actually going through it, you can't really understand it. And while they can be surprising, they can be similar. When I say similar, in that what you're feeling you know, if your mother's, you know, going through the loss of a mother during that, if it's an illness or afterward or the loss of a job, some of similar emotions can come up, like anger and worry and all of those different things. And I think the really important thing for people, because we can feel guilty. There's that word again, guilt, right? We can feel guilty if we're not feeling certain things. Like, you know what, I should really be feeling this right now. My mom's dying. I should be feeling this, or that. And then we also see other people looking at us and thinking we're not acting the way we're supposed to be acting when going through something like this. And that's really that judgment and letting go of that and that freedom of knowing, you know, this is what I'm feeling, this is what's happening to me, and it's unique to me. And I'm going to be honest with myself, and I'm going to try to experience those feelings. And I think that's where the strategy comes into play. I mentioned earlier that my father was diagnosed with cancer when I was a summer before my senior year in college. And thankfully, this woman that I knew at my job was older, and she had lost a parent. And she said, the best thing I can tell you to do is just be honest with your feelings, even though others might tell you that you're wrong or that you're insensitive or whatever they might say. Just be honest, and then you'll have no regrets when you look back on it. And, you know, I took that and I held that and I experienced that. And she was so right. She was so true. And you can take some flack from other people because everyone has this idea of how you should be, or they think you should be feeling the way that they're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be really difficult. So I think, and also the other thing that you have to think about is depending on your life experiences prior to that event, how you show up might change. And a great example of that is, I can use myself as an example. In the 30-plus years that I've been out in the workforce, I've lost my job three times. Whether I was fired and downsized or the organization I was working for lost its funding, I experienced being unemployed three times in my life. And the first time I was devastated. You know, I thought, I didn't know what to think about it. And then the next time, I was more concerned about practical things, paying my bills. How am I going to do that? When the third time came around, I was much older. I was in my early 40s. And I thought, you know what? I need this time. I'm glad I lost this job because it really wasn't where I was. I was so caught up in my comfort zone. And I ignored the things that were my inner feelings that were telling me, you need to change. It's time to move ahead and find something different and new for yourself. And so had that been my first time that I lost my job, I might have been the devastated part. But because I'd been there before, I was more experienced. So I think, you know, it all depends on what your life experiences have been for what kind of how you're going to react to the stuff that happens to you.
Yeah, it's so true. You know, as you talk about your father and the experience that he had, I'm sorry for your loss, by the way. And you're quite welcome, because I knew that that can definitely be devastating. I think about when sometimes you're losing a parent or you're losing someone who's significant to you in your life, your emotions do kind of go through a roller coaster ride, because of course you're sad and of course you're mourning the loss and feeling the loss. But then if it's a long-term illness and you're a caretaker, what happens then, you know, when you have to work full-time and you have children and you have all the overwhelm of that going on? So there's a lot of things that happen in that kind of a situation. And I can imagine that as the repurposed coach, your job is to help people come back to them. So can you talk to me a little bit about what it means to coach someone who might be going through that mourning process, that multitasking when they might feel overwhelmed and not sure how to feel?
Well, I think as a life coach, working with somebody that when it comes to mourning and the loss of a parent or a spouse or a loved one, it's meeting them where they are. And as it is with any time you're working with a client, right, when you're life coaching, is meeting them where they are and really helping them dealing with that. Judgment's going to come up, a lot of feelings of guilt and judgment of themselves and of the people around them, and dealing with any emotions that might come up. So it might, you know, again, it's surprising some of the feelings that might come up. Anger about something that happened 20 years ago might suddenly be coming up because there's that urgency, there's that sense of needing to deal with it and cope and understand. And there was a great movie out last year called This Is Where I Leave You. And the mother, she has, I think, four kids, and she tells them that they all have to come home for a week and sit Shiva. They were a Jewish family. And because it was what their father wanted, it was his last wish that they all come home. Well, in the course of the week, they find out that the father never demanded that. It was the mom that really wanted that. And her reason was is that she wanted them to feel the feeling. She wanted them to process. She wanted them to take the time because they're so busy raising their kids and their careers and dealing with their own challenges that are coming up in their life. And she wanted them to take the time because she knew if they didn't, that they'd be missing something and that it would haunt them and that it would cause them challenges as they move on in life. Karen Sullivan, our instructor, brought this up in a class that I'm taking with her the other day about the beach ball phenomenon and the idea that, you know, if you put a beach ball underneath the water, what happens? It keeps popping up, right? And if we keep pushing stuff down, it's going to be like that beach ball and it's going to keep coming up. And I think that's the way mourning can be if you're not processing. And so that's where I think life coaches come in real handy, because in an ideal world, I think that we all should have life coaches, a relationship with a life coach, just like we do with our doctor and our dentist and our eye doctor, that we have a relationship with a life coach. Does that mean we meet with them every week for the rest of our lives? No. But that we've had some kind of connection with one, because it's such an awesome experience to be more aware of your feelings and what's going on with yourself and to deal with things So that when those big life events do happen, that maybe we're already ready to deal with it because that we've done some work already on that. But realistically, I know that's not possible. but I think that it's really about awareness and that idea of wanting to change how you feel and wanting to move from that pain that you might be feeling to a place of pleasure. And that can happen. That can happen even with the most devastating of losses. We can come through that pain and harness it in a way that can help us become who we need to be.
You know, as we talk about this whole idea of mourning, I'm wondering, Kelly, it may sound like a strange question, but what does it mean to mourn?
Well, I think I touched on that a little bit. I think it's, you know, taking the time to process what's been lost or changed. Because a lot of times we just don't take time to do that. Even, you know, I talked about losing my job earlier. And there's a sense of grief that comes with that. You know, the people, the routine, the things that you were doing and working on and feeling connected to, and that's lost in the same way that we feel lost when we lose somebody that we really care about. Or, you know, divorce happens. You know, the divorce happens for a reason, obviously, but we still lost something. It's changed or it's no longer there anymore. And really take the time to process that and realize that we're in transition, that, you know, one day you just don't say, this is how I'm going to change and it happens. Because usually that doesn't stay, that doesn't stick. We need to take the time to process and transition and explore those, honor. Take some time to honor what has been lost. And like that mother in that movie that I was talking about, take the time to sit and connect and look at what you've lost and honor that. And then look at how you can use that to move forward in your life, to move ahead in your life.
And I know that you, at one point, were a grief counselor, and I recall that there are stages of mourning. Can you share that with us?
Yeah, there's a lot of work out there. I first became familiar with Kubler-Ross's stages of grief, and it was very, very helpful. And there's all different kinds of models out there now. And it's interesting because a lot of it's moving away from those because not everybody experiences them the same way or in the same order. But there are similar things that happen, stages that people can have, how long they last, whether you feel them, actually experience or have them, is different with each person. But so, you know, and that's why I think people are moving away from saying, here are the stages of grief. Stage one is this and stage two is that. Because people were like, yeah, that didn't happen for me or it didn't feel like that. So they're kind of moving away from that, but the concepts are still there. And there's, I think we've talked a little bit about denial. Numbness and shock is usually what pops up for everybody. And, you know, and that's protection. That's to keep you feeling safe. And if, you know, if you don't have to acknowledge something that's happened, then you don't have to be sad about it. You don't have to hurt. And then there's bargaining. That's where regret comes up. If I had just done this, or I wish I would have said this, or I could have done that and it would have been different, or I wish I wouldn't have waited so long to do that. And then there's anger, which I think often comes up for all of us. And, you know, anger is one of those words that we don't like to say that we're feeling because it's not acceptable to express anger. And
when you're mourning, talking about. When you're mourning. Yeah.
Yes, when you're mourning. And because then it seems like, well, you know, why are you angry? You know, you know that you don't have a right to feel angry about this. And it's like, of course you do. And, it, you know, there's that feeling of abandonment. Or, but really, anger, again, comes down to fear. There's that feeling of hopelessness and helpless and being powerless. And, you know, and then there's some people move into a place of depression. And that can, you know, that feeling of loneliness and emptiness, isolation. I know that my mom, when my father died, she was only 44 years old, and there was a loss of purpose. And, you know, maybe that's where this has come from for me, that idea. I was on my way out. I was in college. I was about to graduate, so I was off, and then she lost her husband at 44, which is really young. And suddenly it's like she's not a wife. She's not a mother. What is she, you know? And she needed to figure that out. And there was some depression that came up for her at first until she worked through that and found some guidance and some support to get her through that. But eventually, and hopefully, we get to that place of acceptance. And I think most stages of grief agree on that, that that's the final stage. And most of us go through that. If we take the time to process and look at it, and we come to terms with what we're feeling and what has happened, and we see, have a little bit more perspective on how it might fit into to what it, how it fits into to our story, to our life story, and how we are moving ahead with that experience.
So with all of those stages, Kelly, the denial, the numbness, the shock, the regret, the anger, the depression, and then finally the acceptance, throughout all those stages, I know that you mentioned the idea that it's a really great idea for people to have a coach, right? So when is the best time, and when does it make the most sense to hire a coach?
Well, you know, again, everyone is different. And I think, like I said, ideally, you know, I would say hire someone as soon as you are struggling to do that. But then there's the idea that, you know, why wait till you're struggling? But I think that hiring a coach is a good idea no matter where you are in the process. And it's when you're feeling stuck. And again, it comes back to that. When does anybody seek coaching? When they're feeling stuck and they're not sure how to move ahead and how to take that next step. And a coach, I read somewhere that a coach, it was an article that was in Forbes magazine, that a life coach is a really good BS meter, you know? And that, you know, that they can help keep us accountable and call us out when we're having making some assumptions and ideas about ourselves that might not be rooted in fact or truth. And they're keeping us down. They're keeping us from showing up big and having the life that we want. So I think hiring a coach, especially in the dealing with mourning and loss and grief at any point in the game is a great idea.
Okay, and when you're going through that process and you're stuck, as a coach, I'm going to ask you from the coach's perspective more so than from the client's perspective, how do you know that you're ready to move ahead? So if you're a coach and you're coaching someone and they are telling you verbally that they're ready to move ahead, but you instinctively feel that might not be the case, how do you coach somebody like that?
Well, I think, again, you look at why, you know, why did they come to you in the first place? What's their intent? What are they hoping to find? And look for keywords that they might be offering up. A lot of times they're hidden, that fear and maybe even the anger or any of those stages of grief. Look at where they are in the process and meet them where they are. And, you know, acknowledge, you know, one of the two things that we learned that are basic, I think, for all of us, not just as coaches, but in life in general, is to offer, acknowledge what people are feeling and validate that they're where they're
right.
at and providing that and asking questions. You know what's going on? Because the more questions you ask, the more they can look within to find those answers. And sometimes the answers don't come. And as a coach, I think you need to be comfortable with that silence. And even in my short time of coaching clients, it's interesting to ask the question, and a lot comes up with that, but not a real answer to the question. And I've learned that that's okay because it comes, like I'll get a text or an email or in the next session say, you know what, I think I finally have an answer to that question you asked me. And then I hear a lot of how they got there and such a sense of relief. And it, again, they release the fear or whatever was holding them back, whatever was keeping them small or stuck in that anger or denial or being just whatever is stuck. It starts to dissipate. It starts to chip away at that, and that feeling of being stuck doesn't feel so so strong anymore.
Yeah, doesn't feel so bad. Let's just call it what it is, right? I mean, it's just, sometimes being stuck just feels so bad. You know, it's almost like an oppression. For, you know, I'm speaking personally, you know, it's almost like an oppression where you're not really sure how to get out of the muck and the mire. And a coach, I heard, I think it was Jill Garofa, our training assistant for the class, say that a coach is like that. You like football. I'm not too good with football, so help me out. So if you're in a huddle, right? You're in a huddle and you're kind of strategizing about where to go. The coach is kind of like the person that leads the strategy and tells you and gives you that opportunity to kind of get out of that muck and mire and helps you find a way to go and how to get there, if that makes any
right.
sense.
And it gives you, you know, a coach can help you explore those options and find which one works best for you. Because sometimes the solution that we come up with, the reason we're not ready to go with it is because maybe it's just not ours. It's not really working. It's not really comfortable. It's not really what we want. And yet, for some reason, we're holding on to it. It might be values that we think we have, or that we're other people have that are important to us, and that can keep us hesitant. You know, and not ready to go. And like the football with the coach, you know, there's practice and they talk about all these different plays and different ways you can do it. And you'll see the quarterback with a little thing on their forearm where they lift it up and they have options there. They're looking at the options. All right.
Mm-hmm.
And then they can look through them really quick and say, yeah, I think this one's going to work. This one's the right one. And I think that that's where a coach can help a client see those options. First of all, just see them. Sometimes we're so caught up in our stuff that we can't even see the way out. We can't even see that there are options out there.
Yeah.
And to clear away that muck and that feeling bad can just keep us from that, and then just realize that there are options, and yes, I can go after them. And having a coach help us go after them.
So before we wrap up, Kelly, I just want to find out from you. I already know it, so share it with our listeners. What is your website address and best way to connect with you?
Well, my website is the best way to connect with me. It's moveaheadwithkelly.com, and that's moveahead with K-E-L-L-Y, Kelly with the Y, .com. And on there, you can find everything you need to find out more about me and my coaching strategy and how to get in touch with me.
Awesome. Awesome. And any last words about repurposing your life and moving ahead?
Well, just the idea that we all have a purpose and we all have it in us. And sometimes we need to refigure that out and repurpose. And it's a great journey to be on. Figuring that
awesome.
Out.
Kelly, this was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was. It went by so fast.
It did go by fast. It always goes by fast, and especially when the conversation is meaningful and juicy and rewarding. And I'm sure that anyone who is listening today would agree that Kelly has an incredible platform, the Repurpose Coach, Kelly Carley. Thank you so much for being on Reveal Your Excellence today.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. It was great to speak with you, Renee.
All right. I look forward to connecting again real soon. Okay, Cal?
Yes. Have a great day.
All right. You too. Bye-bye. So that was the Repurpose Coach, Kelly Carley. And Kelly is certified as a core energy coach. She, like myself and the majority of the other coaches in our cohort at IPAC, did an assessment called the Energy Leadership Index, and we all, most of us, became master practitioners of that Energy Leadership Index. And Kelly is definitely inspired to work with people who are looking to repurpose their life to explore and design a plan for now, for moving ahead. So it was a pleasure to have Kelly on the show. I'm so glad that you, our listeners, were able to join us today. Just remember some of the things that Kelly brought to us today. Repurposing. It's about finding a new mission, about redefining your life, embracing life, seeking clarity. She talked about the whole idea of how sometimes we don't know where to start. Sometimes we're feeling a little bit resistant to change. And a coach is really there to help support you when you're going through that process, to give you some options. And more importantly, not to give you the options, but to help you come up and develop the options for yourself. So just think of that person as your partner, your champion through that fight and through that struggle. And hopefully you'll come out on the other side and you'll have that acceptance, whether it's through mourning or whether it's through any kind of life challenge that you may be facing. Hopefully you'll be able to come out on the other side and live the life that you dream of. So I just want to thank you so much for joining us today. It has been a pleasure and a privilege, as always. Just want to let you know that on Tuesday of this week, I'm so excited, I'm going to be in the Cherry Hill area doing some practice and rehearsals for my upcoming show that's going to be airing on WMCN in the Philadelphia market. We're going to be taping the show on the 20th, and it'll be airing in November in Philadelphia market. And Coach Trina Ramsey, who is my fellow colleague from Life Coach Radio Networks, will be my very first guest. I also have a wonderful woman by the name of Dina Lightman, who will be my guest. She has an amazing method and system called Power Optimism that's all about helping you to harness that positive energy. And then on my second show, I have Dr. Kristen Herbst and Renee Brown-Holman, and they're going to be talking about health and happiness and exercise and, you know, just getting yourself ready for that body image that you've been craving. So thank you so much for joining me today. Definitely look out for the show. It's going to be called Embrace Life with Renee. It's coming up, like I said, in November, and it will be running on Sundays at 7 p.m. in the Philadelphia market. So thank you so much again, and you have an incredible day. Again, thank you so much, Kelly Carley, for joining me, and I hope you enjoy the show. Have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Saturday. Bye-bye.